Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Janice Tenow. I'm your host for Beauty Talk for today, Sunday, September 20th. I first wanted to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399 if you have a comment or a question. And I also wanted to apologize for last week. Blog Talk Radio had a site-wide system issue that wasn't corrected until about 10:30 last Sunday night, so we weren't able to have a show at all last Sunday. So I apologize for anyone who tuned in looking for the show. We actually tried to call in and get set up, and it just wasn't happening. So we're back tonight, and we're glad to be back tonight. Thank you for those who I see on the phone lines. Thank you for tuning in. We have a wonderful show, wonderful discussion planned for tonight. So I'm just going to turn it over to my sister Denise, and she has beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the beauty news. And welcome back to the show. I was able to look back at some of the stats for last week, and we had a lot of people who checked out the archives last week. So we just want to acknowledge them and just say that we appreciate you all. And last week, I wasn't able to give you the list of the Creative Arts Emmy winners because of the technical difficulty, so I will give you those in a few seconds. But really quickly, I've talked about this once before, but Premier Birmingham, if you are a hairstylist, makeup artist, nail tech, esthetician, if you own a day spa or any other business, in the beauty industry, Premier Birmingham might be the show for you, actually. It's coming up next month, October 25th through 26th, in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex. And again, if you need information on how to get tickets, how to attend the show, where to stay, and all that, and actually what classes are going to be offered, what seminars are going to take place, you can call 800-335-7469. Or you can, visit their website, premierbirminghamshow.biz. Again, that's premierbirminghamshow.biz. Okay. Now to the Emmy Awards, the Creative Arts Emmy Awards, actually. That's not the one that's taking place right now, but they took place last weekend in L.A. And I just kind of wanted to read off the winners of makeup. Outstanding makeup for a limited series or a movie, and this is non-prosthetic. You had Aaron Kruger McCash, the department head makeup artist for FX Network. Kim Ayers was her key makeup artist, Lucy O'Reilly, Michael McCash, Christopher Nelson, and Jillian Erickson. That was all for American Horror Story Freak Show. I understand they took home quite a few awards last weekend. Outstanding makeup for a single camera series, non-prosthetic. You have Jane Walker. She's a department head makeup artist. The network was HBO. Nicola Matthews is a makeup artist for the show Game of Thrones, episode Mother's Mercy. outstanding makeup for a multi-camera series or special non-prosthetic. Louis Zakarian, department head makeup artist with NBC. My friend, Amy Tagliamonte, makeup artist. Jason Milani, makeup artist. Sarah Egan, makeup artist. Daniela Zivkovic, makeup artist. And Melanie Dimitri, makeup artist. That's for Saturday Night Live, their 40th anniversary special. Outstanding prosthetic makeup for a series, limited series, movie, or special. Aaron Kruger McCash, again, department head makeup artist, effects and network. Michael McCash, key special makeup effects artist. David Anderson, prosthetic designer. Justin Raleigh, prosthetic designer. Christopher Nelson, special makeup effects artist. Kim Ayers, special makeup effects artist. Louis Garcia, special makeup effects artist. And again, my friend James McKinnon, special makeup effects artist. And that was for American Horror Story Freak Show. Okay, I want to see if that's it for makeup. I wanted to see if I could find the hair. We always leave hair out and just focus on makeup. Okay, outstanding hairstyling for a limited series or a movie. excuse me, sorry for the cough. Monty Holt, department head hairstylist, again, FX Networks. Michelle Segula, assistant department head hairstylist. Dana Daigle, hairstylist. Amy Wood, hairstylist. Sherry Hamilton, additional hairstylist. And again, that was for American Horror Story. Okay, outstanding hairstyling for a multi-camera series or special. Betty Rogers, department head hairstylist. Network NBC. Jody Mancuso, key hairstylist. Inga Thrasher, hairstylist. My fellow 798 members, Jennifer Serio, hairstylist, Kara Hannah Sullivan, hairstylist, and Joe Whitmire, hairstylist, Saturday Night Live with the host Martin Freeman. Outstanding hairstyling for a single camera series, Nick Collins, key hairstylist, the PBS Network, Downtown Abbey, Episode 6, and that's it for hair. And I understand you have an announcement about PBA.
Yes, I do. Just wanted to remind everyone, for those who don't know, that this is PBA month, Professional Beauty Association. September is the PBA month, and PBA membership month, I should say. And so when you have something to say about the organization, please make sure you use the hashtags #PBAMember and #PBAMember and #JoinPBA. And again, PBA is the Professional Beauty Association. I also wanted to remind you that this month, the PBA Association, associated with Professional Beauty Federation, PBF, which is an online resource center, it's a nonprofit coalition of businesses and associations working together to advance the interests of America's professional beauty industry. And so what happens is every year they take on the Capitol. So it's called Welcome to Our World, and it returns to the nation's Capitol September 28th. It's going to be located in the Cannon Building. And what happens is that industry volunteers and contributors are the driving force behind this event. And what they do is they go in and they style members of Congress. So you have volunteer hairstylists, makeup artists, nail techs that go in. And from a certain period of time, I think it's 5 to 8 p.m., and they go in and they volunteer their services, and they style members of Congress. And normally what they always do is they always ask for donations. So if there are any product brand owners out there listening, TBA will be accepting donations, and they may include sample size products, not for resale products for event attendees, and then the full-size products for the volunteers. So they need full-size products for volunteers to use, and then your sample sizes, the sizes that you're not selling, to give as little gifts to the those who attend. And so to learn more about volunteering opportunities and donating supplies, please contact PBA's Manager of Government Affairs, Ms. Bridget Sharp. And I don't know if you all remember, but we had Bridget on our show. Maybe it was about 2 years ago, maybe? I think it was about maybe 2 years ago we had Bridget on. So if you want to go back and take a listen to that, she talks about PBA and joining the organization. So her email is Bridget@probeauty.org. Again, that's Bridget@probeauty.org.
Now, I don't know if you all just heard me scream.
Yes, I did.
And I had to turn my TV up because Regina King just won an Emmy Award, and I'm trying to hear the show. It's so nice because Taraji Henson and Terrence Howard just presented it to her. It's for supporting actress in a limited series or show, and I don't think she was expecting it, but she was nominated alongside Monique, Angela Bassett, and two other actresses. But I wasn't paying attention until for some reason I looked up and I just saw all these brown faces, so I started paying attention. But I'm so happy for her.
Did you? Yeah, I'm very happy for Regina. Did you say she was up against Monique? So Monique was supporting for Bessie?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Best Supporting Actress, limited series, for a limited series or a movie. And yeah,
okay.
I mean, she was shocked, and I think everybody else was shocked. But
well, good for her.
Yeah, it couldn't have happened to a better person. Awesome.
Absolutely. She's a very nice young lady. Very sweet. Very sweet. So let's get started with our topic tonight. I know you had a lot on your mind. You were on Periscope this week talking about one of the topics, and you did mention on Periscope that we would talk about it more in detail on tonight's show. So why don't you start us off? Hello to my sister. All right, we can't hear you. Hold on.
I'm sorry, everybody. I, for some reason, I couldn't get myself off of mute. But this past week or so, I was notified from a fellow makeup artist that a makeup artist who worked with both my sister and I on a show earlier this year was updating her resume. And when she updated her resume, she listed on the resume that she worked as a key makeup artist on this particular show. And that was not true. I was actually the department head of this show, the department head for this particular show. My sister was the key makeup artist on this show. And this particular makeup artist actually came in and what we call day played, which means, you know, we needed extra help on a particular day, so we hired, you know, a makeup artist or a couple of makeup artists to come in and, you know, and help us on that particular day. And most of the time when you have makeup artists come in and day play, they are actually, it's a lot of noise and feedback. Actually, when you have a makeup artist come in and day play, they actually pretty much sometimes will take care of the extras on the show. And so that's exactly what this particular makeup artist was doing. She was taking care of the extras. Then there was a situation where we were doing a promo shoot for the show, which is totally separate from the show, totally separate. Like the promo shoot has nothing to do with what you're going to see on TV or anything like that. It's more so about, you know, photos that you may see online of the actors, or photos you may see in magazines, or, you know, just any particular photo that they use, of course, to promote the show. So that's what that particular shoot was for. My sister and I both decided not to do the shoot because we had another obligation out of town. So this shoot actually took place on a weekend, or on our actual days off from the show. So this makeup artist, we actually hired her and someone else to just kind of, you know, do the shoot while we were gone. And we chose, you know, these two particular makeup artists because they had day played with us quite a bit. So we felt like the actors were familiar with them. So basically, so we go, we do what we have to do, come back. You know, everything is just normal. So we think, well, when she decides to do her resume now, she puts on her resume that she was the key makeup artist for the show. So think about how awkward that could be, or how weird that could be, if my sister were to go into an interview for a job and someone looks at her resume and sees that she put that she was the key makeup artist for this particular show. But then let's say this other young lady goes into for the same job, and she goes in before my sister does, and that she has on her resume that she's the key makeup artist for this particular show. The person doing the interviewing, how do you think they're going to react? How do you think they're going to feel? What do you think they're going to think about Janice, who's actually the key makeup artist, but yet they both have the same thing on their resume? Who are they to believe? How are they to proceed with the interview? You know, it can be very weird. It can be very awkward, but it's very wrong. And so that's what made me want to have this particular conversation tonight, you know, to basically talk about the do's and don'ts of a makeup artist or a hairstylist or whatever, you know, whatever the situation may be. You know, if you're working on film, television, print, it doesn't matter. There are certain things that you should and should not do. So we want to focus on some of the mistakes that people can make, and, you know, and talk about how you can correct them, and how, you know, you can actually, you know, the biggest problem is this: some people don't really understand the industry that they're working in.
Right.
And how, you know, and they don't understand etiquette. Because even if you don't know, there's certain things in life in general that you think a person would have been taught, especially when you're at a certain age. There are just certain things that you just don't do.
Exactly. And one of things is lie on your resume, because one way or another, it will be found out.
Absolutely, and that's pretty much exactly what it is, lying on your resume. And, you know, when you think about it, part of it, I think, it's people are hungry for certain things, you know. Like in this business in particular, people are hungry and people want certain things so badly that they will kind of, you know, they'll do or say anything to make people believe that they're at a certain level. And that's just not how you get there, you know. That's not how you get there. Honesty,
right,
and integrity are huge in this industry. And so,
absolutely,
you don't want to misrepresent yourself on your resume, because it will catch up with you. It will catch up with you. Now, if a particular producer would take your resume and this other young lady's resume and put them side by side, they're going to look very different, very
mm-hmm.
different. So when that producer sees both resumes, sometimes producers don't necessarily really, really look at the resumes until, you know, the resumes are in front of them and the person's in front of them and they're interviewing. Like, they may see the resume, you know, when they first get the resume, they may kind of like skim over, oh, okay, yeah, I think I want to interview her. Okay, I think I want to interview her. And so when they get both people in front of them, you know, at different times, then they'll briefly, you know, kind of skim over your resume in detail, in a little more detail, to really get to know what it is that you've done, because they have so much on their mind in the process of pre-production that sometimes little details don't stick with them. So
right.
when they get you in front of them, that's when they're looking at the little details, and so that's when they can, you know, they can see all of this stuff. So if they were to take your resume and that other person's resume side by side, you know, they could see who has the most experience. They can see who's mm-hmm. been in the industry long enough, and that's what's so unfortunate for the person who decides to lie on their resume.
Right.
You know,
and
it's just not a good thing at all.
Not at all. And like I said, when I chimed in on your Periscope, like I was saying, as the person who really did the work, you know, it bothers me because this is someone, you know, and in her defense, she may not know how serious the situation is. She may not know how wrong she was. And then again, she may. I'm not sure. But in her defense, she may not know how serious that is when you do things like that. And she may honestly think that she could put that down on her resume. But what we're saying tonight is you can't put that on your resume. You can't put that on your resume saying that you were the key for survivor's remorse. Now, if you want to put it on your resume, you have to actually say what it was, what the situation was. You know, if you want to say, I keyed the photo, the photo shoot, or, and that's all she can really say is she keyed the photo shoot. That's it. You know, but you can't
But the whole thing about that was there was no key for the photo shoot. You know, even the people, the production doing the photo shoot knew that they were basically replacement, and
right,
and there was no real thing as the key of the shoot. It was just the shoot. You know what I mean? And Deshaun Hatcher tells a story. I remember when we first met Deshaun. Oh gosh, years ago, in L.A. Actually, she told a story about working with Sharon Gault on a photo shoot, and I think she told the story about, I guess, when the magazine came out or something like that. I think, I don't remember the exact details, but I think she called Sharon, I believe, to ask if she could use the tear in her book. Now, for something like that, now for me personally, if I was not like the key or whatever on that shoot, I would not automatically assume, and I'm not saying Deshaun did because she didn't, but I would not automatically assume that just because I assisted on that I could put that in my book. You know what I'm saying? Because a majority of the work was probably Sharon's, or it doesn't even matter if it was or if it wasn't. It was Sharon's job, and she was there as an assistant. So basically she talked about how she called Sharon to ask if she could use that tear in her book. I think that was the right thing to do. I think that was the proper thing to do. In this situation that we're talking about, the best thing for that makeup artist is for her to call me, or to call you, but to call me and ask exactly what was my position on this show, or what can I say, like, if she says, well, since I was the key, or whatever she wants to say in her head, since I was the key on this photo shoot, how can I put this down on my resume? Well, for one, I would tell her you were not the key photo shoot, but if you want to say that or think that, then that's your business, you know, whatever. But as far as what you wrote on your, what you put on your resume, you didn't put on your resume that you were key of the photo shoot. You put on your resume that you were the key of this show, this television show, and that's what you can't do. So I would basically tell her, you can't say that you're the key of this show, because you're not the key of this show. You only day played on this show. And, I mean, basically, you just can't do it. You know, basically, I need you to take it off of your resume, And if, you know, pretty much if I find out that it's not off of your resume and you're still, you know, and you're still using it, then I won't ever hire you again. That's pretty much how that's going to go for me and how that's going to go for her. If I found out that she did not take it off of her resume and she left it there and she's going around saying that she was the key on this show, then I would definitely not hire her again.
Right. Right.
So how do you how would you handle it? Because this is basically it's happening to you. It affects you.
Absolutely. But I agree with what you were saying earlier about, you know, if a producer would – say, for instance, someone was interviewing for positions here in Atlanta, and the both of us came in to interview, and then he's probably looking, okay, wait a minute, I just saw this on somebody else's resume. I think just like you said, I agree, like he would probably believe it was the person who had the most experience.
Mm-hmm.
But 9 times out of 10, you know, it may be a good chance that we may never wind up at the same interview, and it would may never be an issue,
sure.
You know, with that being on her resume. But for me, I would like to speak with her and ask her to take it off. I would like to do that because there's been times when someone assisted just came in and, like you said, day played, and then on their resume they put down, you know, that they worked on the show in some other capacity or whatever, and I had to make the correction, either say that you did this position or take it off altogether, you know, like off their websites or what have you, because it's very, you know, it's very misleading. So I think for me the best thing to do is to speak with the makeup artist and ask them to correct it by taking it off or stating how it really was, you know, really was. To me, that's the only thing to do. But then again, another point that I made on your Periscope was that a lot of artists don't realize that producers, just like a bunch of makeup artists know a whole lot of other makeup artists in their town, around the country, et cetera, that's the same thing with producers. You know, they all know one another. So basically, there's been times when I've been in interviews and producers who are interviewing me and looking at my resume were like, oh, you worked, they'll see a project that I worked on and they'll say, oh, you worked with so-and-so. You know, oh, I know her or I know him. So they know other producers. So basically, you know, when they want to call my references, they'll call the people that I gave them names for, but then they'll also call the people that they know based on the project that's on my, you know, resume. So,
right.
You know, it's easy for them to prove who really was on that set working as the key. So,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for people to lie, but people don't realize how easy it is for them to get caught in those lies.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, probably like maybe 2 interviews ago, I had an interview for a new show that BET is doing. And I interviewed with the producer over the phone, and she told me that she checked out my references. Well, I had never given them a list of references, but what she did was she went down my resume and she looked at the projects that I worked on that her friends were on, meaning her producer friends, her director friends, things like that. And she saw a show that a director friend of hers was on. She called the director that she knew. She talked to him, you know, asked him about me, asked about how, you know, my beauty work and all that. And he told her I was great and blah, blah, blah. And that's when she wanted to interview me. She interviewed me and hired me over the phone. Now, I didn't do the job, but she hired me over the phone. But this is how people can get caught and can get caught up, because people know people. Producers know tons of producers. Producers know tons of directors.
Mm-hmm.
People talk. People share information. People don't, some producers, when they don't have time
to do interviews, because this particular producer was working on a show in South Africa. So she called me from South Africa to interview me. So some producers don't have time, you know, don't have time to meet with you in person because they have other things going on. So when it's situations like that, they're not going to go through this thing where, okay, you know, they're asking other producers, give me, you know, 10 resumes. And then they're going to go through the 10 resumes and see who they like best and pick out five and interview those five. And from those five, narrow it down to two and then call those two back. You know, sometimes they don't have time for that. When I'm in the U.S. and she's in Cape Town, South Africa, it's like, okay, we're going to do the Skype interview. And then when that didn't work out, we just did a phone interview. And that's how sometimes how they have to do it. It's just a matter of, let me see who she knows. Let me see what she's done. Let me call somebody from here that I know, and we'll do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very, very careful when, you,
right.
when you're putting your resume together. You have to be very careful. You have
absolutely.
To be on the up and up. You have to be absolutely honest.
That's right. Because it will come back to bite you one way or another.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And like I said, if you know, if this young lady doesn't do the right thing, she won't ever work for me.
Hmm.
Because sometimes there may be situations where someone's not going to do that kind of work. Someone's not going to scroll down your resume to say, oh, let's see who I know, you know, and let's see what producer I know. Let's see who I know worked on this show or that show. Let's see if I know a director. Some people may not do that. Some people may just go off of the resume and, like, you know, not even compare one resume to the next. You just never know how it would go down.
Right.
You have to be very, very careful.
That's right.
Very careful. I've even heard of a situation where a makeup artist did this one movie, and she went in to interview, and she met with the producer, and they were talking, and another makeup artist interviewed afterwards, and the second makeup artist actually had one job on her resume that the first makeup artist had on her resume, which the first makeup artist was actually telling the truth. Second makeup artist goes into this interview with the same producer, and he's looking at her resume and he's talking, and he's like, oh, you worked on such and such. And so she's saying, yes, she worked on such and such. And so then he's like, well, do you know so-and-so? Because she said she was, you know, the key on that movie. And so this makeup artist, the second makeup artist who went in to interview, had it on her resume that she was the key. So think about how embarrassing that can be for you if you've lied on your resume and this producer calls you out. Think about how you can, because at this point it's about ruining your career. It's not about, okay, if you don't take it off your resume, I won't hire you again. That's just me not hiring you. Somebody else can fall for your games and hire you and, you know, think nothing of it. But think about it when that happens and you're sitting in front of a producer and he's calling you out or she's calling you out on your live. Think about that. Because producers, of course, know other producers and they will talk.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They will.
They will
absolutely.
Talk.
Well, you know, what about, because there are a whole lot of issues we have on the agenda tonight. That was one of the main ones because that was just kind of fresh and new to our situation. But what about, and we always speak from a makeup artist's standpoint, but this, you know, this could be a hairstylist or anybody in the beauty industry, in any career, actually. But what about those situations when, for instance,
you know, if you're a department head all the time or if you're a key, and, you know, those sometimes those two terms right there can go back and forth and mean the same thing, and sometimes they don't. You know, like for a film, you have a department head and a key. For a television show, you may just have a key, but really that key is really the department head, but the title is key.
Correct.
You know, on a film, I mean, on a commercial shoot or a photo shoot, you may have them referred to as the key or music video, the key. But if you're used to working in a position, let's just say you're department head or the key, the head makeup artist, and you're now working with a team of artists, and there's somebody on your team who's used to always being the key or the department head. They're all used to always heading up a team. But now they're on your team. So basically they're now playing the assistant role. There's a lot of times I find that some people who are always the head, they tend to act as if they don't know how to be anything but the head. So when they're in a situation where they're an assistant, they don't stay in their lane. They don't do their job as the assistant because they're so busy focusing on trying to do the job of the head.
Right.
And then which in turn causes a lot of problems.
Right.
You know, I told Deshaun I'm gonna write the film version of her book, but because you know it's a lot of a lot of what she says in her book can apply, you know, can be applied to, you know, to being a makeup artist in any situation. But then there are a lot of particulars about film and television that's a little different, you know. But for the most part, you know, that's kind of universal all over. There are times where there are people who just don't know how to be the assistant when they're supposed to be the assistant, even though their resume shows that, you know, they've department headed all these films or they keyed all of these projects, you know, but now it's time for them to be the assistant and they just can't. I'm a strong believer, and I don't know how other people feel. Some people feel that it works. I just really don't believe that this necessarily works, but I don't think that two department heads work. It just don't. There's a lot of situations where you say, okay, somebody's the department head and somebody's the co-department head. You know, I just don't see where it works out. Because somebody's going to play, in some ways, an assistant role. Somebody's role is going to be a little less than the other. It has to be, for me, for that to work out. But two people being in charge and two people trying to give direction, it's just very hard. So, you know, I just feel like there can only be one leader in some of these situations because everybody else has their own ideas about how things are supposed to look. And when the ideas don't line up, that's when you have issues and that's when you have problems. So what do you think about that? What do you think about people who don't know how to just work and operate in their position?
You know, sometimes I think on jobs, a lot of people are just very busy. Like, you know, they're busybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they get in the way a lot sometimes because of that, you know. Like you said, they're not staying in their own lane. And that's the thing. If we all operated in our own lane, think about how much better we could be as a team.
Mm-hmm.
As a team. And the thing is, some people, like you said, like two department heads can't work together. Some people, they're so used to being in a certain position that if they were in a position which, you know, they may think is less of a position that they're used to. I think, first of all, if you're asked to be in a position that's a little less than what you're used to, if you're not good with that, then don't take the job, number one.
Right.
If you can't stay in your own lane and do the job that you were hired to do, then just don't take the job, you know, because you have to work as a team. There's only one department head. There's one key. There's one third or whatever you want to call it. You know, if everybody must do their part so that the whole department functions properly.
Right.
But I think sometimes people, especially like you said, if they're so used to being more than what they were hired to do, it's going to be hard for them. And so my thing is, so if you're used to being a department head, then just don't take those other jobs. Just don't. If you know that you're one of those busybodies that's going to always be in the way of the department head or the key trying to pretty much do their job instead of doing what you were hired to do, just don't do it. That would be my best advice. Just don't do it.
Yeah, and then there are some people who are used to being the leaders of the team who work well when they are in the assistant role. So I'm not just saying, everybody, but there are people who do how to work well.
Well, the thing about it is this, it's all a job. It's all a job. And, you know, hopefully the pay is great no matter what position you're taking. It's all a job. It's all important. You know, it's all important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything less than anybody else's position. Just because you're not, like, I don't know what to call it, the boss, the leader, or whatever, it doesn't mean that your job isn't important.
It's all
necessary, though, so that the whole department can function. And that's what people don't realize. We need the thirds. We need the keys. You know, we need the department heads. But we need all of those positions to work together. You know?
That's right.
And I think go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and it's important to know how to just listen, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say that.
Stop being busy, so busy, and, you know, being a busy body, and just listen, you know? Just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what's being said, you know? And a lot of times it's not necessary for you to get feedback. Just listen and do what you're told, you know?
Right.
Now, if there's something that you see could be potentially wrong with whatever direction you were given and you think it's something that you need to speak up and say, hey, you know what? Well, what about this? Or I don't know how. But then, you know, then it's okay. If it bothers you that much that you feel like you need to say something, then it's okay to speak up and give your opinion. But for the most part, just listen and do what you're told. You know, and normally when you do that, things work out better.
And that was something I was leading to. I was about to say, basically, wait for instructions. Like that's something that kind of irks me, and not trying to get away so much from what you're just saying, but it's kind of almost the same thing, but it's going into something a little different. You know, when you're working on a show and you have people that are working with you, and it could be seen as people working for you. It bothers me when people just don't, like, wait for instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're running a show, whether it be film, TV, runway, you know, a print shoot, and you have assistants, if you would just simply wait for instructions, wait for that head or that key makeup artist or whatever to give you instructions, to tell you what to do, I think, you know, you would have a much better experience. Everybody would have a much better experience. But then you find those people, whether it be makeup artists, hairstylists, you find those people who, because they think they know it all, because they've been in your position before, so they think they know it all, or some people who haven't been in your position before, they're just know-it-alls, or they try to anticipate what they think you're going to say or tell them to do, and they jump ahead and do things, and it's totally not what you wanted or what you were expecting. So if you're assisting someone on a job, or, you know, you're working with someone and, you know, and they're in charge, so to speak, just wait for instructions. If that person hasn't given you instructions, ask for them. What would you like me to do? You know, what would you like me to do? How can I help you? Would be the appropriate things to say to get the job done.
Right. Right. Well, I want to know, for those of you who are on the phone line and those of you who are out there listening by way of the internet, what do you think about what we're talking about so far? You can call us and chime in at 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. And just wanted to let you guys know that last week we were supposed to have Nisa Green on with us, and, you know, we had the system outage, so that didn't work. She's supposed to join us tonight when she gets a chance. She actually had an interview pretty much right around the time this show was going to start. So if she gets a chance, she will be joining us tonight. But again, I want to know what you all think about what we're talking about. Again, that number is 914-803-4399.
Let me say this. Aisha Tiffany on Twitter is saying, who are y'all hiring? Laugh out loud. Let us pray. but, you know, things are getting a little tricky here in Atlanta. And I'll tell you why. And it's because a lot, you know, Georgia has the best tax incentive in the country. So a lot of film and television productions are coming here to Georgia. Like North Carolina lost its tax incentive. Maryland pretty much lost its tax incentive. So they have a cap on theirs. I think Detroit has a cap on theirs. Louisiana pretty much lost theirs. I think they're trying to put a cap on theirs, but they've pretty much lost their tax incentive. So a lot of productions are moving from these different states, moving to Georgia, but California lost its tax incentive a while ago. So most of those jobs are in Georgia, shooting in Georgia now. Okay, Michigan lost theirs. Okay, so the thing is, you have a lot of, because all of the work is going on here, you have a lot of people who want to get into the union because they want to work on these shows. A lot of people want to work on these shows so that they can work with celebrities, not necessarily because they love film and television, not because they've always wanted to do film and television, not because that's what they're studying to do or training to do, but it's because they want to work with celebrities and they want to find, you know, ways of making money. So you have people coming from the makeup counters, you know, saying, you know, they want to get into the union. Okay, you have people who are in the union who's glorifying it to their friends who work in the counters. So they're trying to get their friends in because they just think it's so fabulous and so this and so that. And they have no clue as to what being in the union is all about. Then you have the unions who they see all this work here. They know who they have on their roster, so they're thinking, wow, they've got all this work in Georgia. Let's get more people on the roster so that, you know, we can fill these positions with union workers. Because Georgia is a right-to-work state, you know, people feel like, oh, we can hire union or we can hire non-union. No, that's not really how it goes. On union shows, you need to hire union workers. If for some strange reason you can't find a union worker to work who's available, then you can go outside of that and hire off the roster and just hire a non-union person. But where you're getting in trouble is you have a lot of non-union people out there who are not qualified to do the work. You have a lot of people who they've allowed in the union now who are not qualified to do the work, okay? What's happened is you have a lot of non-union people who've complained because they couldn't get on the union jobs here. And so there's a lot of non-union people from Georgia who've complained that they couldn't get on the jobs here, and they're saying this is a right to work the state. A right to work state. We have the right to work. So that whole complaint, you know, was filed and it went to the heads of IATSE. And so Georgia had to hold a like a hiring, I forget what they called it, but basically they had to let some people into the union. And so they went through this whole thing of people had to prove that they had 30 days on a union show and, you know, certain other requirements, which wasn't much. But then they lowered the fee to get in, cut it in half, and they allowed all of these people the opportunity to get in. But what's happening is it's not really helping us. It's doing more damage than anything, because you're finding that, I'm not saying just because you're non-union you don't know anything, but what we're finding out here in Georgia is that a lot of the non-union people that have been getting in the union, they don't know much. So now special classes have to put on special classes to try to get these people trained and things like that. But one of the biggest things that we're running into is etiquette, set etiquette. Basically, what I'm calling it is just common sense, home training. Like, there's just certain things you just don't do, union, non-union, whatever. It's like some things you just know. But some people, they act as if they just don't know. And so it's making it very, very hard. Like, who do you work with? Even, like, you know, if you hire, even when you hire your own friends, it's hard. You can't really hire your friends because people have the wrong idea about what the union is all about. Unions protect you on the jobs. You know, they work out those contracts. They work out your rates. They negotiate your rates for these shows with these studios. You know, they speak on your behalf. If there's something on the job that goes wrong, they're there to represent you. They're not an agency. They don't get you jobs. But they protect you when you're on the job. And so most of these people who have just gotten into the union, they don't get that. They still don't understand that. So they still think it's something magical that's supposed to happen, and it's just not happening. But we're finding out that a lot of them are just not qualified. They're just not. So it's just making it really, really difficult. Again, with set etiquette, just in their skills alone, and I'm not even talking about special effects or anything like that. I'm just talking about just your regular beauty makeup. People can't make the transition from, you know, photo shoot or Instagram makeup to film makeup. They just can't make the transition. So it's just hard trying to find the right people. Even when there are people who say they want to be in film and television and they've been wanting this for a long time now, long before all this work came to Georgia, you know, they've been wanting to do this for a long time now, is there's just kind of a certain amount of a disconnect, I guess. They're just not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making it a little difficult.
Yeah, so that explains who we're working with. Aisha asked who y'all are hiring. That explains that.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk about very quickly. There was another situation on the show. And I just keep saying on a show, and it's because I don't want to call out any names. But there was another situation where a young lady came in to work. We had a bunch of extras for a big scene. So she came in. We had a couple people working with us that day. And, you know, sometimes when, like, the first scene up or something, I'm laughing at you, Aisha Tiffany. She's saying crickets when I said the photo shoot, Instagram makeup to film makeup. So we go in, we do the makeup of the actors, of the principal actors, and then you have people working with the background. So she was working with the background. And then for some reason, the two of us had to be on the hair and makeup trailer doing some of the other people that were coming in. And so we had to have the background, the additional makeup people cover the background as well as cover the two actors that were on set, one male, one female. So I think I had done the male, you had done the female. And so when you Let me just tell you all the particular don't that I'm speaking of really quickly, and then I can go back to details. When the key makeup artist or the makeup department head or whoever does the actors, the principal actors, the lead actors, the characters in the show, whoever does their makeup is the only person who should be or who can change their makeup, okay? They created that particular look. They're the only ones who should be changing that look. So when I say that, I mean, because what we do is when we work on these shows and we work with the different actresses and actors, we will have a bag for each person. In that bag will be whatever powder we used on them, whatever lip we used on them, their brushes, if we use a particular eyeshadow, all of that will be in their bag so that if they need touch-ups, we will use those exact products. So if those bags are left to you and we are back at the trailer doing other people, when you touch up that actress or actor, you need to touch them up with what's in their bag, not with what you think should be on their face. Now, for some reason, if I did a particular actor and I have a powder in his bag and I give that bag to one of the additional makeup people, now, and I'm, you know, and I'm somewhere back in the trailer doing somebody else's makeup, and that additional makeup artist is taking care of that actor. But for some reason, if she thinks that, oh, he needs to be warmed up, okay, because she's looking at him with her natural eye, oh, he needs to be warmed up, and she doesn't use the powder that's in his bag, but yet she goes to get a powder out of her own bag, that's a no-no. There's a reason that his particular powder is in his bag, because I intended for them to use that powder. That's right, Aisha. Use what's in the bag. Continuity. Hello. Exactly. Amateurs. Not just that, but this is not your show. These are not your actors. You are hired help for the day. You are here, really, to watch the background, but because of manpower issues, I'm asking you to watch the actor while, you know, we're away doing other actors. Now, what's important is I know what the actor needs on his skin because I've been working with this actor every day on the show, okay? I know how the DP lights the show. I know what product works on the actor's face because that's what I'm hired to do. So if you pick up another powder because you think he needs to be warmed up and you're just looking at him with your natural eye, well, first of all, you're wrong because you need to be looking on the monitor. That monitor is going to tell you what the actor is actually going to look like on the television show, not what you see in your with your natural eye. Because the DP lights the set, the actor is on the set with the makeup that I did on him. This makeup works in this lighting for this actor. That's why you use what's in the bag, not because you think he needs to be warmed up. If you look at the monitor, you know that he doesn't need to be warmed up. So that's a no-no. Another no-no is when you have an actress and, you know, she has oily skin, she has breakouts, and, you know, you've done her makeup, you've done it well, you've been doing her makeup all along. Not only have you been doing her makeup, you know her skin. You know what her skin will do. You know what her skin will do under the lights, okay? Because you're familiar with how the DP lights. You're familiar with this actress. You're familiar with her, with the makeup that you do on her. You're familiar with her skin. You're familiar with the products that you put on her skin. You know how she's going to react with all of that, right? So you know how long you can kind of sit and not touch her up. And you know that, you know, you can't sit for long and not touch her up. You know all of this stuff because you've been working with this actress, like, you know, maybe not every single day, but she may come in, you know, a couple of times a week. But you know her. You know her face. So when you leave her bag with a makeup artist to just touch her up, and you tell them pretty much, use the blot papers, okay? Because you know using the blot papers is going to pick up the oil on her face. Don't use the powder unless you absolutely have to, because you don't want to keep caking powder on her, right? Because, you know, because you think about it. If you're in a scene, when the director says cut, when they start back up, more than likely they're going to start from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So when you first touched her up and they put her in front of the camera and they started shooting, you know, she had a nice dewy look. She wasn't matted with powder, okay? So now, if you go back and you start matting her with all of this powder, and they're going back to the beginning, and they've already done 5 or 6 takes, okay, so now continuity is off. I'm not saying you have to take her back to an oily place, but you can't take her to a heavy, heavy, powdered, matted down place either. That's the reason I say use the blot papers. There's a reason why I buy tons of blot papers at the beginning of a show, because I know who I'm working with. That's season two. We've been in season two. Now we added a new person to the cast, and she's just as oily as everybody else. I know who we're working with. This is the reason why we buy blot papers, because we intend to use the blot papers. You know what I'm saying? So basically,
mm-hmm.
I don't really want to get into what the person really did, but I'll just go ahead. So basically, okay, so we leave set. The two of us leave set, and we leave the actress's bag with the additional makeup artist. And I don't know what she's doing, because when I come back to set, I get the story from her that, you know, the actress was on set and she was shiny, and the director called for makeup. And so she goes out there, and she was, you know, the director kind of let her have it a little bit, like, look, honey, you know, she's supposed to be beautiful at all times, you know, and she's shining. She can't be shining in this scene. You know, you need to take the time, do what you have to do, but she can't be shining. So they gave her the time, the makeup artist's time, to go, you know, touch her up. She takes her to the back and thinks, okay, she's got this oily skin, she's got these blemishes. Okay, I'm gonna do her makeup so that, you know, it stays, it lasts. So she pulls out her own foundation, goes on top of what you did, sets it with powder, takes out her setting spray, and sets the makeup, and touches up her lips with what you had in her bag, and touches up her eyes with what you had in her bag, and she calls herself, like, you know, okay, I'm gonna fix this makeup, as if what you did was not the right thing to do. The actress gets out on set, they go through the scene, and wouldn't you know, they're calling for makeup again. The actress was shiny. So here's the lesson in all that. Don't think you can fix anything that you didn't create, okay? You didn't do the actress's makeup from the beginning, so there's nothing that you should be doing to change anything, because now you've just put a totally different foundation on this girl's skin that you don't even know if she can wear or not, that you don't even know if she's allergic to or not, because you don't do her face every time she comes to that show. You're just on set supposedly touching her up with a blot paper that you didn't use. If it's in the bag and I give you the bag, use what's in the bag. Don't take it upon yourself to do what you think is going to fix the situation. You don't know if that foundation is going to make her break out even more. You don't know. The director just told you she can't be shiny. You put more foundation on her, and thinking that that foundation was going to help, thinking that your powder was going to help. And it didn't fix the situation. She's still shining. I don't know what else to say about it.
I mean, you know, I just think that it goes back to what we were saying earlier, just pretty much learn how to follow directions. You know, you have to listen. And there's a reason why, you know, you give certain directions, you know. And like I said, if there's something that you feel could work better, before you do that, like I said early, you can voice your opinion, but you have to voice it. You just can't jump up and just go and do it, you know, because had she said, well, I think, you know, if I try putting on a different foundation and a whole lot more powder, maybe, you know, she won't sweat. But then one of us, you know, if we were there, could have said, or if she'd have texted or called us while we were on the trailer, we could have said, hey, look, this girl has a really, you know, big issue with her skin, and you know, all of this extra foundation and all that, that's not going to help. Just use the blot papers in the set bag, or whatever else we left in the bag for you to use on her. Just use that, and you just have to go in every single take.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you know, and just let the, you know, first AD, you know, no, look, this is going to be a situation where she's going to have to be touched every single take, you know, because just like you said, you spent all that time putting on all this extra stuff from out of your set bag instead of what was in the particular actor's bag, and it still didn't work.
Right.
So that could have just been time just, you know, dabbing that sweat off and then using those blot papers to pick up as much oil as you possibly can, you know, and then just keep going in every time to just pick up that oil, pick up that oil, pick up that oil. And the only time you would need to replace foundation or anything is that, you know, if she sweated off or, you know, the blot papers took, you know, some of it off or whatever, if you needed to replace it because if the person had you know, skin issues and you needed to definitely have it covered, then you would definitely go in and put more foundation on. But, you know, putting more foundation on, it was just not the answer. You know, like more powder, I mean, it's just not the answer.
Yeah. And you probably wasted about 10 minutes of shooting time by doing all that, when all you really had to do was give her a really good blot, and then maybe that was the time to kind of dust her with some powder, because at this point, if she's getting shiny so quickly, then yeah, you can go ahead and give her some powder and go from there, or you just pay attention to at what point they're starting from, and see, and that's the problem. Nobody's paying attention, because I mean, mm-hmm. in this right here, what I'm about to say now, that's a whole totally different conversation. And it could take up another 2 hours. But people are too busy on them cell phones when you're on set.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Everybody's on their cell phone instead of watching the monitors, because if she had been watching the monitor, she would have known that the girl was oily. So when they said cut, she should have been running out there. And
right.
That's the thing. She's not going to go out there and go take after take blotting, because everybody's so lazy nowadays, they don't want to get up. They don't want to get up and go out and touch somebody up every take. They don't want to really do the work that's necessary in this business.
Mm-hmm. And speaking, let me just say this, not to turn the conversation totally left, but speaking of the cell phones, one thing I want to say about cell phones and on set, you know, you have to be very, very, very careful with those cell phones in so many ways, with cell phones and social media. And, you know, because with cell phones, you can take pictures. And when you're on set, you know, they don't want any picture taken and then posting, you know, on social media. You'll give away the story. You know, you may have a picture that kind of will allude to what's going on in the film or the television show. So, you know, she had to be very careful with taking pictures and very careful with just sitting there, like you said, on your cell phone, not paying attention. It's okay to, you know, watch the monitor or watch what's going on set, and then every once in a while, you know, look down, check an email, respond to a text message or something, because honestly, you know, like if you were on the trailer and I was on set and you were trying to get a message to me, the only way I can know that the message is coming is if I look at my phone, because if my phone is on silent, then I can't hear it, you know, I can't hear mm-hmm. the beep or whatever. But the situation is when it goes to the extreme, that's when you can get in trouble. And I know on some shows, you know, like producers and showrunners or what have you, don't like people to, like, be glued to their cell phones all the time. And then you are mm-hmm. on some other show, you know, you're on some shows where the first AD may be saying, no cell phones, put your cell phones up. Then there's the there are shows where nobody's, you know, really saying anything about cell phones. And, you know, when you look up and you look all around you while they're rolling, everybody that's not working or operating the camera or acting in front of the camera is on their cell phone. You know, and you have to be really careful
right.
about that. And you have to kind of know when to pull that phone out and when not to. But back to kind of what you were saying, when you know that you have an actress on set that has a, you know, a real concern, and I mean this particular actress that you were talking about, the producers were really concerned about her skin.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a big sweater as well. You know, they're really concerned. So, you know, when you're a person that's in an assistant position and you're left on set to watch an actress who has a skin concern or a skin issue, and they, on top of that, they sweat a lot, it's not time for your cell phone. And you just have to just sit down, stay on that monitor, watch, because like you said, this is a particular situation. It was a time when that's an actress where you have to run in after her every single take. So it would be to your advantage just to leave your phone in your pocket or in your bag and just stay on that monitor and always be in a position of being ready, you know what I mean? So that way
mm-hmm.
when they say cut, you can just jump right in. Jump right in.
Right. That's so true. So true. Wow. I'm telling you, this, it doesn't take much. I mean, there's certain instances on some of these shows. I mean, it could really fill up like 2 hours of a conversation because, you know, it's not that you're trying to, you know, slap people in the hand and just say, no, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. But to me, if you say you want to be in this business, then you need to find out what it takes to be in this business. And that also means you need to, I mean, there are tons of seminars, classes, there are tons of people. I mean, we've been doing this show, I mean, almost 7 years now. There are a ton of shows, you know, in our catalog that you can go back and listen to where we talk about a little bit of everything. And I'm sure we've touched on some of these topics.
This is.
Deshaun Hatcher has a great book out on assisting rules, you know, about a lot of the do's and don'ts. And we've talked about this subject before. There's plenty of resources. If you don't know, Google something. Google anything to find out what you need to know to work in this industry. It's not hard. If you don't know, then ask the question. If someone hired you to work with them, ask them. Just
mm-hmm.
ask the question. But people are too busy pretending. They're too busy pretending that they got it all together and they know it all. And that's not the case.
That's
People
right.
need to stop pretending and really learn what it takes. It's only going to help them to be better. It's only going to help them to continue working in the industry. Do what's right. Do what's right for your career, pretty much.
like I said, some of this stuff is just common sense, and some of this stuff just boils down to some good home training. You know, there are just certain things you just would not do. And whether that's in your personal life or your work life, there's just certain things you just don't do.
You're right. And, you know, if you're in a position where you're trying to be a part of the film and television world, and so you're trying to get there, maybe you're one who's trying to get their days to join the union, or maybe you're one who's in the union and you just need the extra days of work just to, you know, get the experience and to build your resume, whatever the situation may be. It's always important to show the leaders of the team that you want to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important to show mm-hmm. them that you want to work, because like my sister was explaining earlier about the state of what the situation is here in Georgia right now. Basically, everybody's looking to put workers on their team because it's so much going on. You know, you really don't have the time to bring somebody in and like sit them down and teach them everything and tell them everything. It's almost like you just pull them in, you just throw them in there, and they got to do what they have to do the best way they know how. Now, you know, of course there's time to tell, you know, somebody something or tell them a little bit, but nobody has time really to hold anyone's hands and to really sit down and just teach people. And that's why, you know, like my sister was referring to some things as like common sense and home training. It's just like, you know, you wouldn't really go to a place that you've never been before around people that you know and respect and show out or make them look bad. You know, that's just common sense, you know, and that's just being taught well and living right and that kind of thing. You know, so it's the same thing with, you know, coming to some of the jobs. You have to come and you have to represent yourself well, number one, so that one, people can respect you, and two, people might be willing to hire you and bring you back. But then also you have to represent your department well. You know, because somebody see you doing something that you shouldn't be doing or you're not doing something that you should be doing, and then first thing they're going to say, well, you know, the makeup department, that's all they're going to say is the makeup department, especially if they don't know your name, you know. And so that reflects on the makeup department. And then third, you have to represent your department head or your key or whoever the leader of this team is. You have to represent them well as well. You know, because as hard as they have to work, they're the ones who's going to take the fall when you don't do something that you're supposed to be doing. And then when it gets back to like a producer or something, they're not going to come to you and point you out and say, hey, how come you didn't do such and such? They're going to go to that department head. They're going to go to that team leader and say, hey, you know, this is what we're not happy about. And they're going to be the ones who have to take it. You know, so it would be to your advantage to, you know, like I think I saw Aisha Tiffany say on Twitter, you know, instead of sitting around on the phone, you know, on the phones or sitting around not doing the right thing, get up and do something. You know, it's to me, I think it's always best if you are always going in, for instance, touching up versus not getting up at all. Or at least be seen and be present and really work hard and show that you want to work. And that's the bottom line. I just feel like I think what makes a great makeup artist is someone who's a team player, someone who listens and can take direction, you know, and knows how to execute what they're being asked to do, you know, follow the rules, and pay attention. You know, it's not all about how great of a makeup artist you are. It's, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you get the job, you got the job because we know that you can do makeup. You know, so it's best to, like I said, be a great team player and be a listener, you know, and be willing to do what you're told. And I think that will take you a long way. Makeup artist, hairstylist, nail tech, whatever you are, I think that will take you a long way. And I think that, you know, you'll get far. You'll get far in this business.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope tonight some of the points that we went over. I hate that Nisa didn't get to join us because, you know, because she's a agency owner, I would have loved to have heard some of the stories that she probably has that she could share, you know, because she, you know, she's an agency owner, and just be able to tell us a little bit about how some of the artists who were signed to her roster, you know, some of their experiences would have been great to hear. But I hope that some of the things that we discussed, you know, have really helped a lot of you out there listening. Some of you may be guilty of some of the things that we're saying. But, you know, everything that we say is our opinion and what we thought, what we think and what we know to be true and to be right. And we're just sharing it with you all just in hopes that we can help somebody, you know. And it's not like we're pointing the finger and trying to talk down to anyone, but we're trying to help, you know, we're trying to help you. And if you want to get jobs and if you want to have longevity in this business, then you have to go about it the right way. It's okay to be hungry, you know, for it and really want to do it, but you have to go about it the right way. And that's basically
right. The
bottom line.
Right, and just like Janice said, we're not trying to talk down to anybody, you know, but we have to be as real as we can possibly be so that you get it. And if you don't get it after this, there's just no helping you. But and I'm not trying to be funny either. I just, you know, I mean that. I mean, just really, this is not an easy industry to be in. And again, if you want to be in this industry and if you want to last, you got to have tough skin. And if you can't handle what we're dishing out tonight, you'll never make it. Because this was nothing compared to, you know, the criticism that you can get. You know what I mean? Just imagine being on a show and you're doing some of the stuff we're talking about and there being a department head who's not going to be as nice as I am. You know, there are some people out there that you can work with that are crazy. And they will say anything to you, however they want to say it. You know, and then you'll look at them like, God, I thought I left my mother at home, you know. But they'll talk to you any kind of way. They'll treat you any kind of way. And, you know, and they won't be nice about it. So, I mean, we're saying it in a loving way, trust me. You know, we're doing the best that we can to get the point across, you know, so that you understand, you know, what to do and what not to do. We're really, truly trying to help. You know, we're trying to help. So hopefully you've received it as such.
Absolutely, absolutely. Next week, we want to have a guest on next week. She wrote a book. And I'm not going to give too many details on her name and that kind of thing, but she wrote a book, and it's going to help those of us in the industry who have businesses. Like, I know Aisha Tiffany is listening, and I know she has her skin studio, those who may be working in salons. And she's a certified social media strategist, and she's going to be on to talk to us about how social media can help our businesses. So this is something where you may want to come on and sit down with a notepad and a pen and take some notes. If you have questions about how you should be working on social media to get people to pay attention to your brand and your business, she's going to be on to talk with us about it. So I'm excited about it. We'll give you more details as things progress and as things are finalized throughout the week. But we're hoping to have her on for sure next Sunday. So stay tuned and join us. And like I said, if you have questions, get your questions together and don't be afraid to call in and ask your questions. But of course, you could always follow our tweet chat and get your questions out there as well.
Right. And for those of you who love YouTube and for those of you who don't love YouTube, we're asking you to go out and check out our little web series called Glam Squad Diaries. Basically, we started this web series to kind of talk about the behind the scenes of some of the shows that we work on. And one particular show that's airing right now is Survivor's Remorse on the Stars Network. So I know everybody doesn't have Stars, but it's okay. You can at least you can go back and check out our behind the scenes. And so you may have some of the actors talking about their makeup look and what beauty is to them and how Hollywood defines beauty. And you may have like some of the hairstylists talk about how they got started and things like that. So we cover a little bit of everything. We cover the a little bit of like the special effects that you may see in a couple of the episodes. And we talk to the actresses about their view on beauty, what advice they may have for young girls, things like that. And so we're just asking you to go out and check it out. Spread the word, tell your friends, have them go out and check it out. It's called Glam Squad Diaries. Again, it's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and just do a search on Glam Squad Diaries, it will pop up, and it'll be out there as Glam Squad Diaries Sizzle. So that's one of the videos, and then you have Glam Squad Diaries Episode 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we would appreciate it if you would go out.
And I just want to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to say, and you can find that on the Beauty Talk with Denise and Janice Tennell page.
Yes. But it'll be a lot easier if you just go to YouTube and then do a search on Glam Squad Diaries. But like she said, again, it will be, if you go to YouTube and just pull up Denise and Beauty Talk with Denise and Janice, then when you pull up that page, that's where they're all housed.
And tell them where they can find us online.
Oh, they can find us on Facebook. We are Beauty Talk Online Radio. On Twitter, we're Beauty_Talk. And on Instagram, we're Beauty_Talk_Media.
All right. And tell them how you're handling the BBM.
I was just about to say that. So, for those of you who would love to join our BBM party, pretty much you can send us an email. And the reason I'm doing it this way is because, you know, you have some weird people who, when you put the barcode out there or something like that, you have weird people who try to get on and post crazy inappropriate pictures or messages. And so to cut down on anything like that or to prevent anything like that, we're just asking you to send us an email, and you can send it to beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. Again, that's beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. And just put in their subject line BBM request or just BBM. And then, of course, you have to download BBM on your smartphone. If you have iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, BlackBerry Phone, you can download BBM. And then when you send that email, just write in the body of the email your PIN number, and then we will go and send you a request, and you can we'll add you onto the group that way. But this is to prevent any crazy people from, you know, sending anything inappropriate, just because we don't want to put our PIN number out there on social media or our barcode out there on social media. I mean, we can always delete them, but we don't have time for anything like that. We just don't want anything crazy at all. So we're
all
asking
right.
you to send us a request.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. And, again, we will see you – well, not see you, but you guys can tune in and hear us again next Sunday night. And in the meantime, check out some of the older episodes that you may have missed on Blog Talk Radio. Everyone have a wonderful week and have a blessed evening. Good night, everybody.
Good night. But really quickly, if you're on Periscope, you can follow me, Denise Tunnell, or you can follow Janice Tunnell, JaniceTunnell. And this week I'm going to do a Periscope on how to break down a script.